Everyone, always a schuss to be together. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. New Sefer. Sefer Shemos. New World. First Shabbos of Shoivavim, which we'll talk about. And Baruch Hashem, you know, it's incredible. You look around, a lot of the Chevra that's often here is not here because Baruch Hashem, they're in Eretz Yisrael. It's getting texts all day from a lot of the Chevra. Baruch Hashem and Eretz Yisrael. You know, a bunch of the Chevra are going to be there by Mamish right after Shabbos. So hopefully, you know, if a lot of the Chevra from this year is already going to Eretz Yisrael, I mean, I'm going a week from Sunday, hopefully, but hopefully before that, Alavai, we have to uproot this year. And by next Thursday night, this year will be in Yerushalayim Er Kodesh, Bez Hashem Yisbarach.
Amen.
So all the Torah tonight, El Chizik Osiris. I want to give over Lula Nishmas, my grandmother. It's my grandmother's yartai tonight. Chamaleya Bas Yisrael David. I mentioned my grandmother last week. If some of the chevra might remember, 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago. Talking parshas Vayigash and that very emotional parsha of Yosef Atadik revealing himself to his brothers and in the moment when Yaakov and Yosef meet up and. I remember my grandmother telling me many times how that was her favorite parsha. And she was someone who loved learning Torah, loved learning parsha specifically, loved learning Chumash. I mentioned this just recently, just a few weeks ago, that after she was Niftaris, what I wanted to take from her is just a chizik and to have with me always was her Chumash. She used to learn from a stone edition Chumash and go through the parsha every week. And she loved it. She would talk to me about it all the time. And therefore, a big schus, hopefully, to learn Torah, learn Parsha, learn Nishmasa. She should be a big military Yisra for my beautiful family. Mm-hmm. Until we're Zoichin be tanting with her,
Amen.
And also, you know, tonight, so we mentioned some of the Chevra, that tonight's the Yortzeit of the Baal Tanya. The Yortzeit of the Baal Tanya. I happen to, like, in my life sometimes when I'm davening for something and yearning for some refuah, Yeshua, for somebody. I rely on the Baal Tanya to step in a little bit to the Eibishter. Tell you why, you know why? I'm sure I shared this story before, but years and years ago, this goes back already, it's about maybe 14 years ago, 13 years ago. Went on a very special trip. We've mentioned it over the years. Went with the Chevra, myself, Rabbi Eli Brazil, and 17 Talmidim. We went on a week-long trip. We went to Ukraine to all the Mekomos Kedoshim and to the Nachman and to the Baal Shem HaKadosh and to Rav Zusha and the Magid. And went to other special Mekomos. And it was incredible. Went a full week. And then we ended up, it was that Thursday night, was Lag BaOmer. We went Thursday afternoon, flew to Eretz Yisrael for Lag BaOmer, Meron, Shabbos Mitzvah, Matzah Shabbos Yerushalayim, and flew back. It was the craziest week ever, non-stop. We literally slept in bed the whole week, two nights. Imagine we left here on a Sunday. We were flying Sunday night. We got in there Monday. Monday night we were driving throughout the night going to Mekomos Kedoshim. Tuesday night we slept in Uman in these apartments. I don't know if you'd call it sleeping in real beds, whatever. Maybe in Yavin, there, old school Uman before Uman became very big. And then Wednesday night was the first night we were supposed to We paid for already a hotel in Kiev. And Wednesday night, we were very late. We were in this orphanage in Kiev, running all tish with them and a suda and dancing with them. You know, I remember we brought our, that year, as many years in DRS, we lost the hockey championships, you know. DRS were very good at getting to the hockey championships. We're also very good at losing the hockey championships. So maybe in Yavin and Lameisa. That year, we really thought we were going to win. We had like a really incredible team. Like Mamish, I thought one of our best teams ever. We lost in like double overtime to TABC. It was a whole, whatever it was. Still talk to some of the Chevra about that game and certain plays in that game. But Lameisa, we had made up t-shirts already. You know, Kielu, like in the NBA and NHL, we had t-shirts made up, like Kielu we won, you know, and we lost. So we brought the t-shirts with us to Ukraine. We gave them out to all the kids in the orphanage. Till today, maybe some kids are wearing them. I mean, they wouldn't be kids anymore. That was a long time ago. Anyways, Lemaisa. So we were there till like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then we were going to this hotel, but we didn't yet go to Davin by the Baal Tanya. Now, the Baal Tanya is buried in Hadij. Hadij from Kiev is like a 4-hour drive. And we had a flight the next day, maybe around 1 o'clock from Kiev. Teretz Yisrael. I don't remember exactly what time it was. So we had a choice now. We could go to the hotel, which we already paid for. And again, this is already Wednesday night, so we slept in a bed one night since Matzah Shabbos. Or we could drive through the night, get to the Baal Tanya for Nates, be there for about an hour, daven Nates at the Baal Tanya, daven by the Baal Tanya, and get right back on the bus to get to the airport. So that would be Kielu, like, let's say, right, I mean, now it's about, now it's close to 12 o'clock, so about an hour later, but it would be like, if there was a kever of a big tzaddik we wanted to go to in, like, Washington, D.C., we said, we're going to get into a car now, drive there, be there for an hour, and drive back. That's mamish what it would be like, right? After already days of non-stop moving, non-stop doing. So I'm talking over with Rabbi Brazil, and I said, yeah, but... So he's like, I don't know if we could do this, but I would like to... It's like, listen, when else are we going to go to the Baal Tanya? Who knows when we'll be back here? I mean, I myself, that was 13 years ago, whatever it was. I haven't been back to Ukraine since, and now who knows if any of us could ever go to Ukraine, you know? Lemaisa... So he's like, you're right, I do also want to go, but like, maybe it's considered abuse already for the guys. They don't yet connect to tzaddikim the way we do, and I don't know, they're supposed to go to sleep, you know? I said, to sleep on the bus. He said, I don't know. So I said, you know what, I have an idea. We'll have a vote. Let's see what the guys want. Let's have a vote. If the guys want to go, we're going to go. If not, we're not. We'll have a vote. Fair. Democracy. Right? Democracy. So he says, okay, that's a good idea. Let's do it. So I get on the bus. All the guys on the bus. I think we're going straight to the hotel. And I give them a speech. I tell the guys, we have a choice. We could go to the hotel, or we could go to the Baal Tanya. Now that might have been for most of you guys the first time they ever heard of the Baal Tanya, right? They're not so excited about the Baal Tanya, but I explained to them who he was. He was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shneur Zalman Ladi, and he wrote the Tanya, which is like the Bible of Chassid. I explained them. And then I said, listen, it's up to you. And again, we've been to already many Kibbutz Tzaddikim. To them, I said, but I'll tell you like this. Before we vote, I just want you to know, there are very few people that go to the Baal Tanya. Plenty of people go to Rav Nachman and the Baal Shem, because it's so far, and it's one kever, you're traveling so far. I said to them, I guarantee you, if we go to the Baal Tanya now, Achir Meiv Esrim, he'll get our back. That's what I can tell you. If we go out of our way, we're mostly in efforts to go to him, he'll be there for us when we need him. But you decide. Okay, so I guess I might have given a little guilt trip. That's what I said. Another thing, we had 17 guys. They voted 15-2 to go. Baruch Hashem, I don't remember who the two guys were that voted against, because they were all beautiful Tamidim, who all Baruch Hashem grew so much from that trip. Mamish are different people today, every single one of us from that trip. We went to the Baal Tanya. And it was life-altering. It was incredible. I'll never forget how special it was. I can show you after I have an album. I can show you the pictures by the Baal Tanya. Hey, look at Baal Tanya. You know, we've quoted many times over the years from the Baal Tanya. But maybe the Torah that we've mentioned more than ever, we have to, since you're at it tonight, we have to just mention one Torah from the Baal Tanya, Perek Dalet. When the Baal Tanya says, the beautiful, beautiful analogy of learning Torah, that every time I open my sefer, every time I learn, I'm giving the Eibishter a hug. And it's so beautiful to remember this and to connect this. And we just entered into the days of Shoivavim, very, very chashuv days. We're going to talk about it somewhat tonight for sure. Again, every year we give like a very intense Shoivavim shir. That will be, we're waiting so many chavar away. So I said we'll do that after Mirat Hashem. But definitely we're going to start tonight, first week of Shoivavim. We got to talk about Shoivavim. And Shoivavim is this incredible time of tshuva. Shoivavim is Malashan tshuva. To work on ourselves, to grow. And obviously there's a big focus on Shmir Seinayim and Shmir Sabris. But it's also, and along with that, a very important time to strengthen, to be mechazik our learning. Shoivim is gematria 360, gematria shas. And all the svarim talk about strengthening our learning during shoivim. After all, if shoivim is the time to do tshuva on our taivas, barasi yitzara, barasi yilatoyer tavlin. The Ramchal, the Mishil Sharm, talks about this at length in the fifth parak, how important learning Torah is, and it's the only antidote to the yitzara. So clearly it has to do with all we're going to talk about working at Shemir Sinayim over the next 6 to 8 weeks, because Shavim Tat this year. There's no question a big part of it has to be Mechazik or Amelos B'Torah. And the Baal Tanya explains why that's so, because if Lefida Baal Tanya, if every time I learn Torah, what I'm doing is giving the Eibishter a hug, I'm getting closer and closer to the Rabbanu Shalom, I'm connecting to the Rabbanu Shalom in the deepest way, because I'm learning His wisdom, I'm learning His character traits, I'm getting to know Him better through my learning, I'm giving Him a big hug. So of course that's going to be the greatest Shemira, because I'm more closely connected to Hashem. I have Hashem by my side. I really believe He's with me. There's no greater tool to really strengthen that Amunah than learning Torah. And if I really feel that, I would ever chas v'shalom be nichshal. If I really believe the Eibishter is by my side, lo, you know, l'mashal, l'havdili, you're standing in the, and your father's standing by your side. A person's ever going to be nichshal and Shemir Sinayim? Of course not. You're going to look at something inappropriate when your father's right next to you? If I really deeply, deeply, deeply believed, and I really believed it, not just I said it, not just I know it, but I believed it with my heart and soul, the Eibishter's with me every moment, how could I ever bring myself to look at something inappropriate? And maybe of the greatest, most important ways to strengthen that is through serious Limud HaTorah. Because then, what? I'm giving Hashem a hug, and He's with me every moment. Bez Hashem is Baruch, and Zchus of Baal Tanya, Zchus of that Torah, we should feel that, and feel that relationship with the Ribbono Shalom in the deepest of ways. So this is a very special time of Shovim, and we all know it's Keneged. Shovim is Keneged, the parashah of Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, B'shal, Chisrim, Espartim, which is Rashi Teva Shovim. And clearly, just on a very simplistic level, these are weeks where we go into Galus, this week's parashah, we go into Galus, and we fall into the lowest of places, and then we're lifted out and go into Geula. And therefore, this is a time in the year where we have this, the ability to take ourselves out of the lowest of places. I just want to point out, it's the first week of Shoivim, that there are Heilige Svarim to bring down, the Shlach Kadosh, and the Magen Avram himself, and others, that Shoivim was really set aside much more so for an Iber Shana. For a year when you have Adar Sheni, like this year. And I want to explain where that comes from, just to understand it. It's very important that we understand. And a Talmud had just left me a message today. And he said he was hearing all these ideas about Shovim and how Shovim already started from Parshas Vayechi on some level. And he didn't understand what it meant. And he was going to, I don't know why, but because of that, he was going to like throw in the towel of pushing himself during Shovim. Okay, you can have questions on that, whatever it might be. But he was trying to push himself specifically in his learning. And then he decided he's going to push himself one last time and stay up all night. He's in Eretz Yisrael, so last night or tonight, whatever way you say it. And I don't know, he was learning and then he needed like chizik for me. I don't know, he listened to last week's shir. And last week we spoke a lot about, if you remember, Yaakov and Yosef and how that was really the Hakadama. Yaakov and Yosef HaTzadik and Yosef being Yisod, and how that was really the Hakadama to enter into the days of Shovim. And he finally said he understood it and it made sense and it like gave him all the chizik to go back into what he was doing. Sometimes you just have to understand because we're told things and we don't know exactly what it means. So what does it mean when Svarim say, why would it be that an Iber Shana is more of a year to work on ourselves during these days of Shovim? So there are different ways to explain it. The Levush says, because you have that extra month, you have a much longer time from one Bahab to another Bahab, right? There are the Monday, Thursday, Monday after Yom Tovim that we're supposed to work on. These are Yanim as well. You have a longer break from Sukkot to Pesach. So you need extra chizik. But the way I always understood was like the Shla says so beautifully. The Shla, the Heilige Shla. The Shla says something so beautiful to explain Shoivim, and specifically to explain how Shoivim is connected to an Iber Shana. You see, if you look in the beginning of the Torah, you look, Mamish, in Parshas Bereishis, right at the beginning. So what do we find
What do we find the first sin being? What we find the first sin being, really the very first sin. Again, there's some who talk about the first sin being the sin of the land, that the land didn't grow, the bark and the branches tasting like the fruit, right, famously. But really that didn't occur till later, because no vegetation grew until man davened for it, famously from Rashi, we all know that. So when the ground was created, it was only in potential. It didn't come into existence till later. So on the next day of creation were created the sun and the moon. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayasa l'kim eshnei ha'maoros ha'gedolim, God created, David created two big luminaries, and then it called this ha'maor ha'gadol l'memshelas ha'yom, the big maor, the sun, to rule over the day, v'ha'maor ha'katon l'memshelas ha'layla v'ha'kochavim, and the smaller luminary to rule over the night. It's the Pasuk starts, Vayasa l'kim eshnei ha'maoros ha'gedolim, calling these two luminaries both large. And then it separates and causes this, called the sun large and the moon small. We all know this. We know Rashi brings down to Gemara Nechulin that Shavim Nivru, that really initially the sun and the moon were created the same size, and not just the same size, but the same power and the same abilities and same Vinismata Halavana Shekatriga V'Amra, and the moon was made smaller, because it argued and said, how can we have two kings? It's not going to work. You can't have two kings with one crown. You can't have two kings with one crown. Hashem said, oh yeah, okay. Amos, you know what? You can't have two kings? Fine. We'll make you smaller. And Chazal teach us making it smaller was not just making it smaller. It weakened the moon
in every single way.
What does that mean, it weakened the moon? It weakened the moon that also its orbit was not the same orbit as the sun. And that's why we have that the solar calendar, the lunar calendar is different. And the solar calendar is 11 days more than the lunar calendar. That's why we have to have every few years Ibrashana. So what's the whole, the Shlach Kodesh explains, the whole purpose of Ibrashana is to be, to go and to be mashal, to fix up what's lacking because of that first sin. And that's why that extra adar is supposed to be used as a time of tshuva. Because the whole purpose was to do tshuva, and like we say when we're mekadesh the chodesh, that we should have Bez Hashem, we should be zocha when we're mitake the pagama levana, the pagama levana. We're waiting for that time to be mitake in it. So therefore it makes perfect sense that Ibr Shana is a zaman of tshuva in a different way than a regular year. And that's why Shoivim Tat, these weeks, make even more sense to be a time of tshuva in an Ibr Shana. This is how the Shlach Kodesh explains, to understand. So I want to share, again, like I said, we're gonna definitely talk about Shoivim, and we always have, again, one Shoivim share that's going to be, try to be mechazik in a way that's, hopefully could completely obliterate any lacking of Shmir Sinayim, any lacking of Shmir Abris. But we also have to give some Yesodos to understand the depth of what the issue is and what we could work on as a person, what Midos we could work on to be able to be mechazik these areas. I had the schus to learn this past Shabbos a Torah that Rabbi Avram Shor brought down from the Heilig Gadol Melech, that Mamish, I think, is Yesod Shebisodos in this Inyan that's not always looked upon in this way. I want to explain it. It's right at the beginning of this week's Parsha. You know, the Parsha begins, beginning of Shemos, B'nai Yisrael's down in Mitzrayim, as we know. Right away, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, right before the Gullus begins. The last Pasuk before the Gullus begins. So I think this is a very crucial Pasuk. Because the very next Pasuk is Vayakam Melech Chadash HaMitzrayim Asher Lo Yodas Yosef. A new king came into power that didn't know Yosef. We know the famous Chazal, whether that's actually a new king or same king with new decrees but and treaties. But that's the beginning of Shibud. The very next pasuk is where everything changes, right? So this is the final pasuk before Golus. And we all know there's a refuah before the Makkah. And we all know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives every one of us the abilities before he gives us any challenge. He already gave us the abilities to get out of that challenge. To believe in ourselves. It doesn't give us a nisayon that we don't already have the tools to be matzliach. We have to believe in ourselves. And we're seeing it in Eretz. You know, it's amazing. Again, I was in Eretz Yisrael about a month ago. I can't wait to go back in a little over a week, hopefully before, with Mashiach Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. A lot of the chevra here is going before me, and hopefully everyone's going. We're all going. But one of the most special things of being in Eretz Yisrael these days is every moment in Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh Hashem. But one of the most special right now is just talking with the Gedolim, the Tzaddikim, and I'm talking about every single person in Eretz Yisrael. And when you're dealing with people who are going through such difficulties, such tragedies, whether it's families of hostages, families who've lost their children, who are serving for Klal Yisrael to protect our nation, soldiers who've lost legs and arms, and we've spoken all about this over the last few weeks. And you see such unbelievable gvura, and you see such unbelievable amuna, in incredible, incredible ways. But those, it is true. Sometimes I talk to these people, and I was talking to these people, and I look in the mirror, and I question, would I have that gvura and that amuna? And it could be Arya Cohen Kent, and I don't have it. And maybe that's why Hashem's not giving me that challenge. I don't know if I have it. I hope I'm learning from them, I'm growing from them, I'm being machazik myself from them. I'm not asking for them those challenges, because I don't know if I could even handle those challenges. And to see people, mamash, persevere, and with such emuna, with such gvura, with such strength, in the most incredible of ways that I've seen in my life. But they have that. Eibishter wouldn't have given them that nisayon if they didn't have it. And we have to know that in our lives, whatever we go through in life, we already have the refuah. It's there. Dig down a little deeper if you haven't found it yet. It's there. So, if Klal Yisrael and Pasuk Ches of this parsha is going into Shibud on some level, Pasuk Zion, the final Pasuk before, I believe, is already giving us the tools to be Matzliach in that Shibud. We were going to be successful there. We were going to come out alive, and we did. We came out and we built a nation from that tikkun that we needed through the years of slavery, right? And that's the same way we know, we believe it. And trust me, if you don't feel it here, that's also what you get when you go there. You know it 100%. You know it 100% that we're going to be victorious, that we're going to come out successful. It's just a matter of when and how. It's not a matter of if. It's not if, it's for sure. Just when and how. We hope sooner. We hope with no more deaths, and we hope with no more tragedies. But it's going to be. And if we're going through this Saras, Hashem's already given us the abilities to be Matzliach through it. Every one of us. So what's that final pasuk before the Golos? Uvnei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'ma'od ma'od. The Bnei Yisrael, and we learn, Rashi tells us, based on all these different Lashonos, they multiplied tremendously and greatly. They had six, Rashi says, right? We know famously, we remember learning this as little children already when we were in kindergarten. Somehow they were having six babies at a time. And my family makes fun all the time because, Lel Seder, we try to reenact a lot here. We should all be doing that. Right? Rambam says, Chayim Adam Laharos, Laharos means you have to physically show it. Because when you physically show something, you feel it more. You relive it. You're not just retelling it. You're reliving it, Lel Seder. So we do a lot at the Seder to do that. We have Siddur Makodesh Kedoshim. So one of the things every year is, like, I don't know, I found in the house somewhere like six little babies, like little baby dolls. And every year, I don't know how it became this originally, but my safta, my grandmother, she had tremendous gezunt, 992 years old, who now lives in Eretz Yisrael, but for Pesach, she vada comes back to be with us. So she puts the six babies, she's laughing because, yeah, my family makes fun of it too. You can imagine the scene, I guess. So she puts the six babies underneath her shirt, and like at some point, like outside the room, you know, and see when she does it, and then she's the one always like, you know, when we get to the pub, you're biyachma, whatever it is. When I tell the story, and she's popping out six babies, you know, from the shirts.
We filled the world. We filled the land. So what is it? What in this pasuk is telling us our strength? What in this pasuk is giving us the tools to be successful through the years of persecution? And maybe not just the physical persecution. All the spiritual persecution. We're living in a place of Zima, a place of Taiva. That's what Mitzrayim was. That's what America is. So it's very interesting. We once spoke over a kliyakar on this. Says differently, but there seems to be in this pasuk an extra base. It says Vnei Yisrael paro v'yisru v'yirbu v'yatzmo b'ma'od mod. It should be Vnei Yisrael paro v'yisru v'yirbu v'yatzmo. Vnei Yisrael greatly multiplied me'od ma'od. What's b'ma'od ma'od? Should be me'od ma'od. What's b'ma'od ma'od? It sounds to me like they greatly multiplied with ma'od ma'od. Not, it should be they greatly multiplied ma'od ma'od. Those are the last two. That's the six words of multiplication. Keneged the six babies. So what's it mean, bim ma'od ma'od? Like they multiplied with ma'od ma'od. So Noam HaMelech says like this. Noam HaMelech says, the Mishnah Avos in the fourth parak, Mishnah Dalet. This is tremendous. Listen to this Torah. Have you ready? Torah is so sweet. Torah is so beautiful. If you pick up on every little letter, every little word, what lessons are being taught to us, the deepest of deep. Rav Levitas, Ish Yavne Omer, Me'od Me'od Have a Shefal Ruach. Mishnah Avos. One would think having nothing to do with our parasha. Just a lesson in life. Avos. Ethics of our lives, ethics of our fathers, ways to live our life. So Rav Levitas Ishavna tells us, Ma'od Ma'od have a Shefal Ruach. Very interesting lashon. You should Ma'od Ma'od very much have Shefal Ruach. What Shefal Ruach? Humility, lowliness, but in a positive way. It doesn't mean never is the Torah tell us to have low self esteem. Low alayna, low self esteem is depression, is sadness. Kadosh Baruch Hu never wants us to be sad, he wants us to be happy, he wants us to think highly of ourselves. Shval Ruach means I recognize it's all from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm no better than anyone else just because I have these kochos. They're all here just to utilize and serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I could be so much more. Shval Ruach. That lowliness in a very positive way. Humbleness. Humility. Vish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam. That was his greatness. So Ma'od Ma'od Avish Shval Ruach. So the Naim HaLemelech Rabbi Remelech says, you know what you could learn b'derech drush, you know what they were great in, you know what they were multiplying? Bim ma'od ma'od. Bim ma'od in ma'od ma'od have shval ruach. In this way, they had humility. They were humble. And when you have humility and you're humble, you're always connected to the... But what is humility? What is true humility? True humility, like I said, is not low self-esteem. It's not being shy. It's not thinking very lowly of yourself in a negative fashion. It's not walking around all day with your head in the ground, afraid to talk to anyone, and not thinking that you're roy for anything and to talk to anyone. It's just realizing all the kochos you have, realizing it's all from the Eibishter. And therefore, it's the biggest key in being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single moment. It's knowing that everything I have at every moment is from Hashem. He's orchestrating it all. That, and therefore, this is the pasuk that leads us into Galus Mitzrayim. Have a year b'yatzmo b'ma'od mode. We need that humility. We need that humbleness. Naim lalach, yes, what's pshat? Have shefal ruach. It should say, he wants to say, it should say, ma'od ma'od tishbol ruchacha. Like it should be a commandment. What do you mean? Ma'od ma'od have shefal ruach. Ma'od ma'od, you should very much try to be humble. Tishba Rucha. So he explains that have a Tishba Rucha would be a lashon of like, you have to always be working at this. You have to always be battling this. No. Humility should be a way of life. It should be have a, it's ma'od ma'od, it's so important that have a Shba Ruach. That's your essence. That have a Shba Ruach, that's the person that I am. It's not sometimes I try hard to be. I work on it. That's who I am consistently. Have a Shefal Ruach. Halvai. And we'll get back to this topic a little in a few minutes, but that's where we should be when it comes to Shemir Sanayim and Shemir Sabris. Yes, yes, so many are battling and working and ups and downs. We want to get to a point where Have a Shomer Bris. Have a Shomer Inayim. It's just who I am. It's no longer, I'm above it. I did my battling. It's like not even on my radar. Nobody in this room is on their radar to break Shabbos. Nobody in this room is on their radar to break Shabbos. Nobody. It's not on my radar. I wouldn't be able to bring myself to it. Like, there's no way I wouldn't be able to bring myself to go on my phone. Nobody here could even bring themselves to that. It's not even like part of my bechira on any level. On any level, I'm so above it, like lifetimes above it. I said over, one time in my life I went on my phone on Shabbos, which was L'Toyev, I had to, with Nani Mishayla, right? Incredible story. I can't remember the story. It happened to me tonight. I was reminded of it just because, incredible. I'll read it to you. I can read it to you now. This, I want to tell you what, my wife's, some of the Chavir knows, I don't know if everyone knows, my wife already got 7 months ago, had open heart surgery, had a bowel replacement. And her surgeon was like a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a malach, a very special person, Dr. Ella Mamzi. Just don't understand. Listen to this, Dr. Ella Mamzi. I want to. This is from Mamish tonight. My close friend, Shulam Saragafai, is Phil Green. So my friend Phil Green lives in Teaneck now. Is a cardiologist himself. One of my closest friends my whole life, and he sent this to me tonight that Mount Sinai Hospital came out in 2023. We made history by becoming the first valve center worldwide to perform more than 100 successful Ross procedures in a single year. That's the procedure my wife had. The Ross procedure is the optimal treatment for patients under 60 years old with aortic valve disease. Led by Dr. Ismail Al-Mamzi, and it talks about all his titles, professor of, all these tremendous titles. So Mount Sinai Hospital has become the global leader in care education for patients with aortic valve disease. He's the world expert in this particular procedure, which is, from all of our research, the best procedure you could have done. Only, if, again, you have to be young to be able to do it, and it's much more complicated. You take the pulmonary valve, and you take it and put it in the place of the aortic valve. It's like a whole long procedure. So this was what Mount Sinai Hospital came out with, you know, showing what they've accomplished and specifically praising their doctor, my wife's doctor, Dr. Al-Mamzi. So listen to how Dr. Al-Mamzi reacts, this Anuv, talking about Anivus. These are his words. This milestone wouldn't be possible without the exceptional team of dedicated professionals at the Mount Sinai Hospital, from the nurses, MPs, PAs, to perfusionists, intensivists, and anesthesiologists, etc. Ultimately, nothing trumps the privilege of caring for and impacting the lives of young patients with congenital aortic valve disease. For that, we feel eternally lucky, whether it's one patient or 100 patients. You know, you read about doctors Tov Shibarovim Ligahen, because it's known, and I've dealt with some just like that, doctors that are over their heads and full of gaiva because of what they're doing. Dr. Al-Mamzi is complete opposite. You hear how you, I mean, I'm a, very, very, like, special, I can't explain to you the conversations we had, and he saved my wife's life, and he's just an amazing person. And with such unevenness, any time we try to fake him, he would speak about his team and all of them, and not himself. And this, I mean, he's doing like the most incredible surgeries that you can imagine a human being could do. But such unevenness. I think that's why we loved him from the beginning. That he had to be the surgeon when we met him. We met with him to have, to make sure. So what happened? There's so many stories, the surgery, whoever knows the cardinal stories, and whatever else stories. We said all the stories a while ago. I'm not going to go into all the stories. We'll be here all night. Not that it's a bad thing, because these stories are well worth repeating. But basically, I was waiting the day of the surgery. I was all day outside in this beautiful garden waiting for to hear from the surgeon.
And like I thought I'd hear from him by like 5 o'clock, and I didn't hear from him, and it was hours later, and I was, you know, your wife's in the OR with her whole entire body cut open. You don't know what's going on for hours. I'm just davening, learning. And eventually he calls and gave me the most special news of my life. And I remember crying. He telling me how perfect the surgery went. And it was so, such a karsa tov. And eventually I saw my wife later. And I rested. I don't have to get into all the stories. A lot of the chaver, we told all the stories when they happened. And you can go back to Yayu Torah if you want to hear all the stories. But probably tell more of them in the women's share. Usually that's how it works with the stories, you know. Maven Yavin. Anyways, Lamaisa. After I got on the phone with him, I don't know what got into my head, but obviously it's all hashkacha. The number he called me from, I saved the number to my phone, and I wrote it. Now, well, I thought maybe it's his number, even though 99% I was saying it's got to be the, like straight from the hospital, and it's like some just hospital number. It's meaningless. But I said to myself, he's this world-renowned doctor. You don't like the only way to get in touch with him is emailing his, you know, his secretary to put in that he could call you back at some point. He doesn't give out his cell phone number. But I just saved that number. And I put it away. I said, who knows? Maybe it's his number. Well, why would I use it? Why would I? I don't know. But I don't know. I mommies don't know why Hashem told me to do that. I don't remember, like, why. That was Thursday, late afternoon, Thursday night. So then my wife was in the ICU and recovering. And Shabbos morning, she was already doing a little bit better. Good enough that she said I could go to shul. Friday night, I couldn't go to shul. I davened. When she finally fell asleep at about 12 o'clock at night, I davened to be a chidus by myself. I wouldn't leave her side. She was still not in a good enough place. And I had my suda like 1 o'clock in the morning by myself. But whatever. It's what you do. And Shabbos morning, she told me, go. I had a minion in the hospital. There was a shul downstairs in Mount Sinai. She said, go to the minion. And I'm fine. I'm good. I'll be fine. I go to the minion, and I'm thinking, great, this is great. Finally, she got past that initial stage where it's like really bad. And then I go after the minion to the bigger cholam room to get a lot of food, bring it out. So I think we're going to have suda, even if she could eat very little, just she's in a better... I walk into the room. I've never seen my wife in more pain ever. She was like in excruciating pain. Mom, she's like the worst I've ever seen her. I didn't know exactly what was going on because she was so good a few hours ago. And seemingly, it seemed like there was a few tubes in her still, like draining her, and one of them was causing this pressure and pain. And the doctors and nurses that were with, they tried everything. They gave her every painkiller you could imagine, like all the ones that are like anything, all the narcotics, and did nothing, like nothing. She was in so much pain. And the doctor on call, this was on Shabbos, and the doctors on call are like only assistants, and you don't know, and they don't have the liberty to do much, whatever. And like the. This tube was supposed to be in for like another day officially, but it was clearly causing tremendous pain. So I'm like, you got to do something. And he's like, nothing I can do. And he walked out. Like, they all walked out. They all tried and like left her. And I'm like, the liver. I know my wife. She could take pain on a very high level. She was dying. Like, literally, I've never seen anything like it. Like, the most pain I've ever seen anyone in my life. And I couldn't stand it anymore. And then I run out. I'm like trying to get the doctor. He's like, I did everything I could. No one, they weren't being helpful. So I went back into the room and I said, I have to. I don't know. My wife's dying over here. I pulled out my phone. The only time in my life. And I went there with my knuckles, and I said, maybe, and I dialed that number that I saved. And then as I'm done, I'm thinking to myself, 99% is not his number. Even if it's his number, what are the chances he picks up the phone? Like, why? I don't pick up anyone's number if I don't know whose it is. You know, like, why would he pick up a random number? You know, and it's for him, quote-unquote, Saturday. Like, you know, I call the number, and Mamish on the first ring, he picks up right away. And it's him, Dr. Elman. I'm like, Dr. Elman, yeah. It's like, are you calling you the surgery? I hear his kids are crying in the background. And I tell him the situation. Within a minute, the other doctor comes running back in. And he basically, Dr. Elman, he called him and told him, you better pull the thing, clearly. And you have the right, don't worry. I don't, why this guy wouldn't call him on his own, beyond me. And Baruch Hashem, within minutes, she was like, okay. Within minutes. Well, like, such crazy hashgacha. But what a tzaddik, this Dr. Elman. Baruch Hashem. So that was one time in my life I ever had to go on my phone on Shabbos. But obviously that was Ratzon Hashem. That's Ratzon Hashem. Any other time, would we ever... So we have to get to a point where when it comes to Shemir Sinayim, it comes to Shemir Sabris, it's the same. We're like fully above it. It's who we are. It's not even... It's not part of our Bechir anymore. But here we're saying... the Heilige Neumel HaMelech is saying, Havei Shval Ruach. my anivus. I have to be a humble person. Not I have to constantly be working on that. That's who I should be. And that's what the pasuk here says. V'nei Yisrael parv Yisrael v'yirbu v'yatzmu. The last one is v'yatzmu. V'yatzmu is a lashon of strength. But what else is v'yatzmu? My atzmius. My essence. V'yatzmu. My essence. B'ma'od ma'od. Should be ba'od ma'od. Havei shval ruach. It's my essence. It's who I am. It's who I am. V'timalei ha'oret osam. V'timalei ha'oret. Oret is artios, is lowliness. I'm being filled with that. That's what was going, and that's what we needed in Mitzrayim to succeed. That's the key to our geula. Because that's the key to staying away from pritzus, staying away from tumah, to always be connected to Hashem in the deepest of ways. And let me explain it one step deeper. Let me bring it back to Shalom for a minute. Why is that it's so important? Because again, it's so important because that's how we're deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Gemara in Sota. Gemara Sota says, Amar Rav Chisda Vitim Amar Ukva, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gasas HaRuach, any person who's haughty, which is the opposite of Shval Ruach, not Gasos, what's the last Sheish Bo Gasos HaRuach, not Shval Ruach. If you have Gasos HaRuach, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Anivu Yichon Lador Ba'olam, we can't live together. Then Hashem wants to be very distant from you. If you want to be close to Hashem, I need Shval Ruach. And that we need more than anything through difficult times. How are we going to survive the time we're going through now with Eretz Yisrael? Only if I'm so deeply rooted and connected to Eibishter. And that only comes from Shval Ruach. But it's another step. It's another step. If Mitzrayim represented Zima and Tumah and Taiva, and we had to protect ourselves from all of that, that's Shoivim. But if you stop and think about it for a minute, what is the act? The act of when we're lacking Shmiras Anayim, lacking Shmiras Aguf. That act is the most selfish act. It's all about myself. It's all about my pleasure. It's uprooting what true intimacy is supposed to be between a husband and wife, which is so beautiful and wonderful. We're not going to get into that depth right now. But that's something that's giving, that's something that's sharing, that's something that's ahava, rooted in hav. It's caring for someone else. It's loving someone else. It's together with somebody else. Lacking Shmiras Anayim, lacking Shmiras Guf, it's all about you. And where that is synonymous with, that's one with gaiva. Gaiva, it's all about me. Gaiva is I'm only concerned about myself. I'm only looking to take. Havei shval ruach, humility, to be humble, is a deep connection to Eibishter because I understand everything I have is only from Him. But it's that deep connection to wanting to be someone who's giving and caring for others and being there for others because it's not about me. And then no longer am I going to fall prey to a lack of Shmiras Anayim and lacking Shmiras Aguf. No longer am I going to fall prey to that. Because that's all about gaiva. It's all about focusing on oneself. We have to believe in that. And that's why it says also in that same, here, pass me that Gemara, in that same Gemara on the previous daf, that was on Hey Amid Aleph. But if you go to Dalar Mebeis, listen to the Lashon. Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasas Ruach. Anyone who has Gasas Ruach, what's going to happen? Libsof, in the end, Nichshal Be'eshas Ish. You're going to fall into the lowest of places when it comes to Taiva and Zima. Nichshal Be'eshas Ish. That's what's going to happen. And then later the Gemara says, Rochama Bar Chanin Omer, Ki'ilu Bo Al Kol Ha'arayos. Someone who has Gaiva, Ki'ilu Bo Al Kol Ha'arayos. Because it's one and the same. It's all rooted. It's all rooted in the same thing. It's Anivas that's going to protect us. Because it's Anivas that keeps us connected to Hashem. It's Anivas that keeps us a giving individual the way that Eibishter connects this world on Chesed Yibana. It's that Anivas. And that's why, right before Vayakom Melech Chadash Mitzrayim, Ma'od, B'ma'od, Ma'od, Vayima'atzmu B'ma'od, Ma'od, 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 Ha'fei Shval Ruach.
It's a famous story we've said over about the Heiliger Naftali Rapshitzer, Zeche Tzadik HaShem Baracha. You can understand it deeper. Right? Naftali Rapshitzer, Heiliger Tzadik, Zara Kodesh. If that's the safe Zara Kodesh, it's good for showing them, right? So Naftali Rapshitzer, when he was a little boy, 3 years old, he was learning Kriya, he was learning how to read. And his Rebbe was teaching him how to read, and his Rebbe taught him, you should never say Hashem's name the way it's written. You just say Hashem. You don't say, like when you Yud-Yud, you don't say Yud-Yud. You say Hashem. Yud-Yud is Hashem. But you should also never say Hashem's name in vain. In a pasuk, you could say it, because you're saying the whole pasuk, but don't say Hashem's name in vain. Okay, fine, he's learning. The next day comes in, and they get up the pasuk. Imagine this was a pasuk, and Naftali, this little boy, he's reading for his melamed, says Vayadaber Hashem, and he says Hashem El Moshe Lamar, and he just blurts out Hashem. And his melamed looks at him, Naftali, I told you, don't just say Hashem's name. Why are you screaming Hashem's name? He says, what do you mean? You taught me two little yuds is Hashem's name. He got to the end of the pasuk. What's at the end of the pasuk? Two little dots. And two little dots look like two little yuds to Naftali. Little boy, 3 years old, two yuds. The yud, right? So the Rebbe says to him, his mom, he says to him, Naftali, let me tell you something. A yud is like a yid. When you have two yidin that are next to each other, two yidin that care about each other, that's when you have Hashem's presence. So two yuds next to each other, that's Hashem. But when you have two yidin where one's on top of another, one thinks he's better than another, one has that gaiva, doesn't have the anivas, the humility to be walking together. When one dad is on top of another, one yid is on top of another, Hashem is never present. That's never going to be Hashem. Hashem's never going to be there. Hashem's never going to be there. It's anivas, it's humility that brings us deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we have to believe. And that was the anivas. That anivas is what leads to Geula. Geula bechlal, Geula beprat. Who's the one that leads us out of Mitzrayim? Only Moshe Rabbeinu. Because v'ish Moshe anav mi'od b'kol adam. In fact, it's an amazing Sfas Emes. Also in our Parsha, Paragimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we know Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yomar Moshe al-Lakim, mi anoichi ke'elech al-paro? Who am I that I'm going to go to Paro? I'm going to lead us out of Mitzvichi. OTS B'nai Swim time. I'm going to lead us out of Mitzrayim. So Hashem says, what was he asking? Hashem says, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one. What do you mean, who am I? You see, because by the Bris Bein Amasarim, Avraham Avinu was already promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, in the Pesukim, and then the Medrash and Shmos Rabba explains it explicitly, that Avraham said, Ani b'choy divatmi going to lead you out of Mitzrayim. Avraham, don't get nervous. Yes, it's true you're gonna go down to Mitzrayim, but you're gonna become a great nation, and I'm gonna take you out. I'm gonna be the one to take you out. What do we say, Lel Seder, Vyotzienu? Anivel Omalach, Alim Losarov. Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi Anochi, who am I? He's not saying because who am I? If you told me it's me, fine, but why is any person? It's saying, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Mi Anoichi. Who am I? Am I God? Am I Anoichi Hashem Elokecha? It's only Aniv Lo Malach. So Sfas Emes says, when you're a Moshe Rabbeinu, B'chol Anivas, with all this humility that Moshe Rabbeinu has, you're completely Mevatel Takash Baruch Hu. You're a Shliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shluchel Shel Adam Kamoso. You're Mamish. One with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shluchu Shaladam Kamoso. You're the extension of Ribbono Shalom. When you have anivas, when you have humility, true humbleness, you recognize your whole purpose, your whole essence, I'm just an extension of Eivishter. So it's Kiilu Hashem's taking us out of Mitzrayim. Therefore that anivas, that V'ya'atnu Ba'od road is going to lead to the Gula. And if it led to the Gula then, it's going to lead to the ultimate Gula. And it gives birth to so much, that Anivas. But Himale Ha'aretzoysom. So Hashem says in Naso, we have to be like the Aretz. Vatimale Ha'aretz, end of the Pasuk. Vatimale Ha'aretzoysom. what's Aretz? The offer. That offer might look like offer. It might look like dirt. But what is that? That dirt has the koyach of tzmicha, the koyach to flourish. When you look at yourself and you have a nevus, you could flourish in the most beautiful ways because you have that Kadosh Baruch Hu by your side. You have a Kadosh Baruch Hu by your side because you're one. You're with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're shluch l'shad b'kamosa, like a Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us right away. Vayir b'vi'atzmu be in essence b'ma'od ma'od. Ma'od ma'od havei shfar ruach. And if it was true then, we said this over, if you recall, said this over a few weeks ago, in Parshas Vayigash, we said this over, the Yigash of Yehuda, we said over that Galus Mitzrayim is Kol Kol HaGolios. We're learning from these parshas how to get out of this Galus as well. We're learning now. And we said over already last week that when we have this Anivus, and we're Magdar our Erva, and we work on our Shmir Sinayim, so that's what led to the Gula. Rav Huna Amar B'Shem Bar Kapara B'Shvil Arba Dvarim Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim. There are four things that led to the Gula. Shloshina Shemam, we kept our names. Vesloshonam, kept our names. Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael B'ayim Mitzrayimah. We see from the beginning again, telling us, everything in the beginning is telling us how to get out. Ve'ela Shemos B'nei Yisrael B'ayim Mitzrayim. Telling you, your shame is very kadosh, your shame is very special. Vesloshonam, we kept our language. We didn't speak any Lashon Hara. V'lo nimsa b'neim echad mehen paritz be'erva. V'lo nimsa b'neim nobody was paritz be'erva. How so? So Nan Melech is telling us how so. Because we had anivus. And that humility, that true humility, keeps us connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, keeps us looking to give, keeps us not focused on taking, which is all of taiva and all of erva in a negative fashion. And then we'll be walking with the Eibishter the way Naftali Rabshitzer would learn from his Malamed. So when we walk with each other, we have the Anivus with each other, that's when the Eibishter Shechina wants to reside with us. That's why it makes so much sense when there's a lacking of Sinas Chinam, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Lacking of Sinas Chinam had to come from some level of Gaiva, some level of looking only at oneself and not walking together. Hashem says, Anivahu, we can't live in the same world. B'yatzmu ba'od ma'od. Let's work on being someone full of humility, full of Ish Moshan of Ma'od. And you'll see it's the byproduct of that is going to be Shemir Sanayim, is going to be Shemir San Bris. It's going to be caring about others and walking with others. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it in Eretz Yisrael in ways, the way, this is the root of all the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, what's going on now. And it comes from a place of humility. It comes from a place of knowing the Eibishter runs it all. It comes from that place. There is no doubt in my mind that's where it comes from. The Eibishter is orchestrating it all in every single way. We have to believe that in every single way, in the deepest of ways. Someone was telling me earlier today, there was a big simcha. It was a big simcha the other night. And there's a woman who got married here, right here in the sands. My daughter had dropped her off at the chasana. Or picked her up from the chasana, whatever it was. It was one of her friend's brothers got married to this woman. This woman's, it's a very terrible maisa, but this woman's husband was murdered a couple of years ago. Terrible, terrible maisa. And now Baruch Hashem, she got remarried. Big simcha, tremendous simcha. And someone said, I believe it was to the mother of the woman who was getting married. You see how much, you see now how much Hashem loves you? And she said, Hashem loved me just as much the day when whatever his name was murdered. Meaning what? It was obviously a tremendous tragedy, tremendous sadness, tremendous destruction. And we don't have the answers, and we have lots of questions, just like we have tons of questions over the last few months. But deep down I know, Hashem loves me the same. Hashem loves me then also. Hashem loves me in the good times, and Hashem loves me in the difficult times. I just have questions, but it doesn't mean He loves me any less. How does somebody say something like that who went through such a tragedy? Only someone who has so much anivus that they know Hashem runs the world. And yes, I have questions, but not questions. Questions that uproot my amunah is gaiva. It means I have to know the answers, by definition. But if I understand I'm a finite human being who doesn't know all the answers, I could have questions. It's okay to have questions. But my anivus tells me I still believe Hashem runs the world, Hashem's orchestrating better. I just don't have answers. Because who am I to have all the answers? Anivus has all the answers. The answer is, I just don't know, but Hashem knows better, so it's all good. And that's a connection to Hashem in the deepest ways. And that connection to Hashem will keep me kadosh from all the taiva and all the difficulty. And I'll be zoicha through that to gul shleima, beprat, bechal, to zoicha gul shleima, with mishchich zakenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.